This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Farrell, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Just waking up to the beautiful miles in Salt Lake City. Another great day.
You're in Salt Lake City right now?
Yeah, this is where I do my off-season training.
How is your off-season training going?
It's been great. We haven't got hit so hard out here like some other places. Where my gym's at, it's kind of located in the mountains, so it's not a lot of people, so we never really had to shut down. So I've had access to my gym since this whole thing started. But obviously, we've been doing the stuff that, you know, the CDC dags and kind of cut the numbers down, so we're not in big groups anymore. But I've just been thankful to be able to still work out.
Farrell, we're hearing of some of the players that are trying to get together with teammates. I know the NFL is telling everybody to practice social distancing. Like, how hard has it been for you and your teammates to be able to do anything under these circumstances?
It's been kind of a challenge, especially for us. We're trying to pick up a whole new system. We have new coaches, you know. You just want to be able to have some kind of, you know, be in there in person. So we've been doing a lot of the virtual stuff, and it has its pros and cons, but it's just hard. You never get that on the field. You never get that that up close and personal relationship, which goes a long way. But I really think we've been doing the best we can do, and the great thing about it is that everybody's in the same boat, so it's not like some people are able to get a one up on you. You know what I mean?
So take us through, if you could, what one of these virtual meetings, at least what you're allowed to say, how they look. Is it split into personnel groupings? Do you have teammates cracking jokes or making fun backgrounds that everybody can see? Like, how does this work?
We actually do. So the offensive coordinator, he's a funny guy. He changes his background up all the time. So he would do like an install and basically voice over a whole install as if he was watching his PowerPoint in a meeting. And then you'll have your position meetings, which would be a Zoom meeting, and, you know, all the guys get on, crack jokes, you know, as if we was there, honestly. And you'll have a special team meeting, and it's broke up. And then coach will call the team meeting mainly on Thursdays, but obviously whenever. So each day we have videos that we require. And now we're going into a portion of this offseason to where now we have to film part of our workout and basically upload that to an iCloud and so they can see where we're at and see us doing our workout as well.
So they need to see they need the physical evidence of you guys doing the workout there. They want to see it and take a look and critique you.
Yeah, they want the physical evidence. We got tripods and everything now, so. They need to see the real work.
It's like our boss making us stay a little bit later on to make sure we put in the office hours when we were allowed in the office. Farrell Brown joining us on the show. Follow him on Twitter at Farrell's Dream. Let me ask you something. If say this ends up being successful, and I'm not just talking about the Browns, I'm talking about the NFL in general. Could this end up being something that becomes maybe permanent? Like, yeah, we'll get out of this someday when it comes to the coronavirus, we hope, soon. But is this something that could possibly become the norm? Like, hey, do we really need to fly everybody in, fly everybody out, do that whole thing? Or do you really think that you need to be together during this time?
I think it's like in my humble opinion, I think it's just like person to person. I mean, we are professionals here, so if you can take care of your business and you can be able to learn and do all this and do everything that you're asked to do, then, I mean, let's be honest, not a lot of people, not a lot of veterans, once you get a few years in the league, not a lot of them report to OTAs, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. They're still able to perform, they're still able to do that, but I think when you got, I think that's what people that been in the office, like we have a new office, we have new coaches, I think it's vital for us to be together, you know, during this program, but I mean, this time is voluntary, so a lot of guys, some guys choose, some guys don't choose, but me personally, I don't think it's going to be a big part, like, detrimental. She's like, oh, man, it's because the guys wasn't together during May and June. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Farrell Brown, Browns tight end, joining us on the hotline. We talked to John Greco last week about what or how difficult the transition would be to playing in an offense like this. He said, not at all for the offensive line, but what about for you? What about the tight ends, which we know Stefanski has used early and often before?
I think the offense is great. I kind of played in the such scheme at Oregon. The Raiders kind of have some of the same stuff. So, I mean, it's a great scheme for tight ends, and it's a great scheme overall. The past years at the Vikings, they was able to do some great stuff on offense. So it's just going to be exciting with all weapons and all the multiple personnel groups, all the multiple looks that we can give a defense on a Sunday. It's just going to be amazing.
Farrell Brown joining us on the show. Have you thought about the idea of playing games with no fans?
Yeah, man, a bunch of bad thoughts come to my mind. That just doesn't sound fun. I don't know about what you guys think when you think of that, but I can't imagine being at the dog body, you know, see no fans.
Like, I'd imagine you would get used to it over a course of time, but the first game out would have to be that has to be weird. Have you guys discussed changing any sort of cadence or any sort of signals because of the possibility of there being no fans, or is it just still, hey, it's still May, it might be a little too early?
Yeah, it's just kind of a little too early. I mean, I know like the UFC had a thing with no fans and stuff like that. We haven't really talked about that as a team or a league, really. It's just kind of thoughts at this point. And, I mean, the first game, I don't think people really understand when you go into these places, the fans, like, it makes a difference. Like, when you play in those environments, I know you guys been in those environments. It makes a difference. Like, the fan experience, it makes the Sunday. So I couldn't really imagine just no fans being there, because on the field, you feed off. You know, you can go to Seattle and or somewhere, you can't even talk. So you're going on a silent cadence, and that changes the game dramatically. You know what I mean? So it's certain stuff like that, like, the fans really have an effect on the field sometimes, so just having them not there, I mean, it honestly would be a little awkward.
All right, Farrell, talk about that tight end room, if you could, for a second, because obviously it's been a huge focal point in this offseason. Harrison Bryant, the draft pick, Austin Hooper, and of course Njoku is there and couldn't really play much last year. Size up that tight end room. Is that pretty much what you'd hope for in a Stefanski offense, and how hard is it going to be to see the field?
I think it's a good room. I mean, like we said earlier, they like to use their tight ends. I think they had about three or four tight ends rotating last year in Minnesota. I think we got some good competition. I can't honestly wait to get back to compete. I mean, as far as me seeing the field, I do a lot of things that other tight ends around the league can't do. You know, I see myself as one of the best inline blockers in the league. So, and if you go back to some of the game tape last year, I mean, you can see the difference. A bunch of big runs from Chubb came off of my side. So I hold the point of attack well. And if any offense, if they want to run a ball, they need a tight end to hold the point. So I'm not really worried as far as me seeing it still. I'm just ready to compete, and I mean this is the perfect situation that you hope for. When you play in the league, you want to go up against the best, you want to play the best, you want to compete against the best. Like, there's no fun of you just walking in a room and it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I know I got it. You know what I mean? So I'm an ultra competitive person, so I love what our room looks like, and it's just going to bring out the best out of everybody, you know. And that's pretty awesome to me.
So you are 26, right? Your birthday was just what, last week or so?
Yes.
Okay, so you were born in 94 then. The Browns came back in 99. Now, Lyman and I always talk about, like, well, you know, they haven't been that good. There might be a lost generation of fans. Were you a Browns fan growing up?
I was a Browns fan growing up.
Who was your favorite Browns player?
Favorite Browns? I actually was a Browns fan, but my favorite player, I don't even know if I should say this, was like Jerome Bettis.
Ooh. Ooh.
I don't even know if that's
legal to say.
might as well say Big Ben, you know, while you're at it. Keep going.
Why was Jerome your favorite player?
I don't know, just the whole bus thing. I mean, I just remember being younger, we used to play like Dino Man, and you just dragging people. Like, I just remember, like, Jerome Bettis. I had his jersey, and, like, I used to just like him. I was like a fullback, and I was like an offensive lineman at first. And I just wanted to, he was like, I was an offensive lineman because I was the biggest kid. But I wanted to run the ball, and it was like, hey, I can run it. Look at it, how big this guy is.
Okay, that does make some sense. Farrell Brown with us on the show. Were you a big LeBron fan?
Yes.
You still a LeBron fan?
Still a LeBron fan. I actually played for his AAU team growing up. And I mean, basketball and the access that he gave me just a kid from Cleveland. Like, I went places that I've never been able to go to, you know. You know, he got the whole Nike thing. I mean, it was all free. Coach Joyce was our coach, and he ran the whole program. And, I mean, they paid for our flights. They paid for everything. We just went and played basketball, had the nicest stuff. I mean, the amount that he gives back, even though he's not included in now, the amount that he gives back and still gives back is amazing. And I think he gives a lot of kids from Northeast Ohio, you know, a lot of access and a lot of opportunity that they wouldn't be able to have seen.
We had a spirited debate over the course of the last week because we're watching The Last Dance with Michael Jordan. He's somebody who wanted to play another sport. I've always maintained that LeBron could have played football. Now, I've said he could have played football and done really well. Do you think he could make that transition at age 35 is what he'd be turning and be able to play your position or wide receiver?
We actually had this debate the other day. I think he'll be able to play wide receiver. I think he'll be able to play wide receiver just because of his athletic ability, but I mean, football is just a whole different sport. Like, you don't know how a guy would do or react. Like, once it, like, somebody come down and just chop Brian's knees off, like, you know, get hit a couple of times. You don't know what he would do. So, I mean, if he could take a hit, you know what I mean, then I would give it to him. But, you know, a lot of guys can't, the contact of the sport, the violence of the sport is kind of tough. I mean, you can even look at the Last Dance, like the violence that them guys was going through and the stuff now is like totally different. Like, so watching that gave me a perspective. I remember, like, you'd be arguing and older guys like, oh, well, LeBron couldn't have played in that era, or this guy couldn't have played back then. And it's like, well, I mean, you got Charles Oakley in the middle and coming down and they're like, throwing you down by your head and the ref not even calling it. It's like, that kind of stuff today would be, you know, throwing out the game.
Farrell Brown with us on the show. I had to get to this. I didn't want to start with it. I wanted to end with it. Now, your last tweet to me back on Tuesday was, you are from Perry, you're not even qualified to comment or report on east side and west side of Cleveland comparisons. Which Perry am I from?
Which Perry are you from?
Mm-hmm.
I took it that you are from the Perry that's right past Painesville.
That's the one everybody thinks I'm from. That's the one. I'm from the one. This is actually even worse, probably, in my argument here. Is I'm from the one next in between Canton and Maslin. There's a Perry in Stark County, and that's the Perry I'm from.
What high school is down there?
Perry High School. Yeah. It's a big D1 high school.
Perry, Ohio, past Painesville. Is Perry High School the red school? That's the one in Canton.
No, the red one. Yeah, we're black and white and gold, and we're the Panthers, and we're a township. So technically, it's a Maslin mailing address.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
we
so it makes
the
my
one, the red school.
I got nervous because I saw your tweet, and I go, "Wait a minute." The only thing I was saying, Pharaoh. Now I'm gonna let you. I'll let you and Anthony settle this because technically I'm from way south. Is you. I don't know if you took my tweet wrong, because the only thing I said was, now, wait a minute, Kevin Stefanski is going to live on the west side. The last two coaches, and I know that you played for one, so I'm not asking you to comment on that, but the last two coaches technically did live on the east side, and it didn't work out so well. That's the only thing I was saying, I swear to God, Pharaoh. And then people, for the rest of the day, well, you see, the west side, they have lower taxes, and the east side, it's harder to get around. And I go, no, that's not what I was trying to do. And then I read your tweet, and I went, I hope he's not mad at me. I wasn't trying to get him worked up, I swear to God. Go ahead, Pharaoh. Give me the argument for the east side. Give me the argument for the east side, if you can.
Oh, why, the east side is better?
Yes.
The east side drives Cleveland. I mean, yes, parts of the east side is rough. Okay, we get that. But you got to understand, all the money in Cleveland is on the east side. You got, I mean, some Bretonaw. You have Beechwood. You have Hunting Valley. So, you know, Cleveland is a big industrial town back in the day. All the old money in Cleveland that even drives the economy is on the east side. I mean, the Browns owners, what do they say? On the east side. So the west side is like this. So the lower taxes seem like, okay, people don't understand. It's lower taxes, and you get tax abatement because people want you to move to a place. So they invested in the west side. It's new. It's updated. They give you lower taxes and stuff because they want you to come out there. You know what I mean? You can't go to Hunt Valley. I know Anthony from Chesterland. You can't go to Chagrin Falls and think you're going to get a tax abatement. This is prime real estate. I mean, people, you have to understand. They're giving tax abatements because they want you to come there. I mean, it's not rocket science.
How many
a
times
historian.
I think I want to get some lower taxes.
Listen to
how
this.
How many times have you had this argument?
I mean, I just know. I mean, I lived on the west side last year as well because I don't want to go. I didn't want to drive, and I just got too many people on the east side. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's just common sense in my book, like, which one is better. But, you know. Everybody's up there, and all the great restaurants are on the east side. If you can name me two good restaurants on the west side, I might change my mind.
Oh my God.
Once you get the best thing the west side, everything is better. The only thing the west side got going right now is Ohio City. I'm going to be honest. Ohio City and Tremont area is a great area to go out in.
See, there you go.
But other than that, you know, the east side is where everything is at.
Well, I think I'll leave it there. At Pharaoh's Dream on Twitter, you've certainly given us a lot to talk about today, Pharaoh. I can't thank you enough for the time. I'm glad you're not mad at me. We appreciate it. We hope your workouts continue to go well, and we hope to see you here in Cleveland again very soon, buddy.
All right, thanks for having me on the show, guys. You know, call me anytime. I'd love to come back and just talk some sports with you guys. It's a great show, and thank you. You guys have a great day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.